Good morning. Thank you to those five people who said good morning. Hey, it's a great week here at Hope College because this is the week where we get to explore the Critical Issues Symposium, which is on Wednesday. But it starts actually Tuesday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with a jazz concert and a keynote speaker. And Wednesday, there's a keynote at 9, so you don't need to come to chapel, but come to hear that. And it is a gift of a conversation for our community. And this morning, it is my joy to introduce Dr. Mark Husbands from the Religion Department. He doesn't really need much of an introduction, but he is one of our reconciliation witnesses. Not one of our reconciliation witnesses, but one of Christ's reconciliation witnesses. And he has thought deeply on this subject, and I'm excited that he is here to share with us this morning. So would you join me in prayer? God, just as we sang, it is from you, through you, and to you, Christ, that we receive all our gifts, including this gift of reconciliation. Thank you for the gift of Dr. Husbands to this community, and we pray that you will come, Holy Spirit, speak through him now, and that you will prepare our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear what you have to say to us, your community of hope. We pray this all through Christ. Amen.
It is an honor to be here. This is the first chapel address I've ever given at Hope College, so that's great. And I'm so happy to be here. Natalia, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Is this a bad time?
I'm kind of in the middle of something, but...
Okay. No, I'll be quick. I just wanted to share some cool news with you.
Good.
Wednesday, no classes. Critical Issues Symphony.
Symposium.
No classes. So,
no classes, good.
Yeah, we get to just relax. Just wanted to share
you
the good
You seem really
news.
Excited about this.
No, I'm excited. Yeah, no first-year seminar, health die or anything.
Good.
So, yeah, so it'll be awesome.
Are you living under the assumption that you have the whole day off?
No, there's nothing going on.
I'm so sorry. It's not a day off.
What do you mean?
It's a day to learn. I know, it's kind of heavy news this early in the morning, but trust me, it's a really important day. You don't have class, but we want you to come and we want you to learn things because I'm sure you've noticed, the world is a messy place. And I want you to learn about the brokenness of the world. I don't see a smile.
I really want to.
I think it'd be really, let me help you. Okay, let's get this backpack open.
Okay.
I really want you to kind of come to learn about the brokenness of the world and learn that there are awful things and that there's injustice in the world. And I'm a bit worried if you don't know these things, you might be happier, but maybe not as faithful. So let's try this out. HIV/AIDS, that'd be good to know about. Good. Okay. Throw that in. 1 second.
Okay.
Good. Racism.
Okay.
We've got that covered. Good. Racism.
Okay.
That's in there. Should I get it? Sex trafficking. It's very sad. Let's teach you something about that. Good. What would be good? Child labor. I know.
It's heavy.
I get it. Child labor. Good. There's room still for learning. Global poverty. That'd be fine. Is there any room in your life for any more learning? I don't know.
Take a knee.
Okay. Global conflict and poverty. Let's try global conflict. Okay. Good. Okay. It's in. I think you'll be okay.
No, I don't know if it's good.
I know health die is going to come in handy. So how do you feel?
Pretty heavy. I can't really stand.
Heavy? It's a burden, isn't it?
It's a burden.
And I think that's my fear. My fear is the more we tell Natalia about the world and the brokenness of the world, the more heavy she feels, and she might be like you. And so I want Natalia and you to hear the words of Christ. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my way is a way of rest and peace. Natalia, I invite you to lay these burdens at the foot of the cross. Okay. Natalia, go in peace.
Thanks.
And that's really my worry. My worry is you will hear a lot about reconciliation. You will be exposed to lots of complex issues. Issues in a way that are a lot bigger than you, and issues that you can do very little about by yourself. And so the same one who invites Natalia to leave her burdens at the foot of the cross is the same one who has already come to redeem the world. And because of his ministry and witness, because of his sacrifice, because he has faced the brokenness and the harrowing of hell and won victory over death and evil, we are a people of hope. And so I want in the next few minutes, and it's just literally a few minutes, to invite you to think about who is this Jesus who invites you to lay your burdens at the cross? In Matthew 11, we learn this. We learn that he invites you to lay your burdens at the cross. If you move over to Matthew 12, he's been conducting ministry, and towards the end of that chapter, it's very clear that religious authorities are yet again opposing Christ. They are very upset with him. They think he's a fake. And then Matthew, in order to help us understand who Jesus is, he turns to four verses in Isaiah. And let's look at those verses. The first is this. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. And in fairness to Trigvi, I don't think I should spend a moment more in chapel failing to use his famous line, down through the canyons of time. And these words echo down through the canyons of time. And you know this. Where else have you heard this expression, with whom I am well pleased? But at Jesus' baptism. And to imagine that Jesus is a servant, in the next chapter of Isaiah, we will see that he is the promised Messiah. He's the suffering servant. And in Isaiah 42, God is saying, I have chosen him. And what has he chosen Christ for? He says, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Now, if you're reading Matthew's gospel, that's maybe not a shock. If you're reading Isaiah, that's a shock. Why? Because in the ancient world, there was reconciliation needed, and it was needed between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews understood that they were the chosen people, that the Spirit of God would come upon them, upon their Messiah. The Messiah had come for them. And yet, what is Isaiah saying? This servant is my son. I will place my spirit upon him. He will bring in the kingdom of God. He will reconcile all things, including the Gentiles. And so the next verse we hear, he will not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets, which means this Messiah did not go around the streets drawing attention to himself. And if Natalia is going to lay her burdens at the foot of the cross, and if you're going to join her, you're invited to follow Christ, to have your life be shaped by his way. And his way is not drawing attention to yourself. It is this. He will not break a bruised reed, a smoldering wick until he brings justice. He will not quench until he brings justice to victory. Many, when they saw a broken reed, would throw it away. The suffering servant does not throw away a broken or bruised reed. In your own life, you have areas that need reconciliation and need healing. And this suffering servant has taken your place on the cross so that you can be healed. And he will not run away from your brokenness, nor will he set you aside because you do not seem whole. This suffering servant comes to heal you. And the final verse here is, in his name, the Gentiles will hope. The Gentiles will hope. People who did not have a covenant, did not have the promised Messiah. In Isaiah, we are told he comes for us, and we're given hope. So who is the one who invites Natalia and you to lay your burdens at the cross? It is the suffering servant, the promised Messiah, and the anointed of the Spirit. This is the same one who in Luke's gospel says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is reconciliation. It's reconciliation fundamentally grounded in Christ. And so when you hear this word this week, you should add quietly in your heart, "In Christ." Paul is the only one in the whole of the New Testament that uses this word reconciliation. He uses it 6 times. And 5 times it's about God reconciling you. And the 6th time it's enabling you to be reconciled with each other. Paul's point is that reconciliation is in Christ alone. And I invite you as people who know the burdens of the world and the brokenness of your own heart to bring it to Christ. Not just today, not just this week when we talk about reconciliation, but to realize that your hope lies in Christ alone. And the last bit, what should you do now? As you think about the cross, as you think about the work of Christ, and you think that if you bring your burdens to Christ, Christ through his Spirit will anoint you and give you life and joy and hope. As you think about that, remember the cross is a sign of new life and victory. And so what I want you to consider doing as you leave chapel today is to realize that you have a task, and your task is to proclaim the good news of hope and joy and salvation in Christ to a broken world that is often overburdened with the sadness of evil and sin and injustice. And so I invite you, proclaim the good news that Christ makes all things new. Be reconciled to God. Let me pray for you. Dear holy and gracious Lord, we thank you for this brief time together where your word can speak into the depths of our heart, into the depths of our brokenness, and can lead us into a life of hope and newness. We pray that your Spirit will be so present even now that as we walk back into our day-to-day lives, we will be utterly moved and changed by your word and your claim upon us. We pray that Natalia and every person at Hope will lay their burdens at the cross, where you promise to give them rest. And may you not only give us rest, but send us joyfully out into the world to proclaim, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." Go in peace. Amen.